Well, how you doing?
Woo.
Howdy.
How's it going? How's things been?
Pretty great. Pretty great. We just recorded a whole Patreon podcast that was like basically us talking about how, wow, we can't talk about that. We have to save it for the main one, which is usually backwards from how we normally do it. We're like, ooh, don't talk about that here. We got to save that for the Patreon. So, but the patrons did get a little peek into something cool that's coming next week.
Yep. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yep.
Very special guest.
Nothing else about it.
Okay, I won't.
Good.
Okay. I just whisper. It's fine. All right, so what are we going to talk about today, folks? Fellers?
Can I talk about how I had a wonderful experience this weekend? Can I talk about that a little bit?
No.
I don't know. Is it R-rated?
No, it's not. It's not even PG-13.
I'm not interested then.
Okay, I won't tell you.
Well, that's Brian's not very interested. Nice. That is, yes, I'm all ears. Actually, I'm all forehead, but ears too.
That's not a big forehead, Brian. It's at least a 6 head.
I got to just go absolutely bonkers at the My Chemical Romance show with however many 20 plus thousand other emo kids, which was a really, really delightful experience. That was really fun. I've never seen this. This was the first time I've ever seen this particular phenomenon at a show. So normally I go to maybe 2,000, 3,000 cap clubs. That's that would be like sort of a bigger show for me to go to for mm-hmm. most of the bands I like. And this obviously was substantially bigger than that. This was at our, what we call the Moda Center here in Portland, where the Blazers play. And there's something kind of cool that happens during the slow songs these days, at least at this show. People bust out their phone lights like lighters.
Oh, yeah.
That's not been a thing I've ever seen happen.
Oh,
at
hell
like the,
yeah, what? Dude.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I've never seen 20,000 people holding up their phones as Bohemian Rhapsody is played beautifully by Brian May. You, my friend, have not lived.
It's a cool sight. It's like, it's actually kind of cooler than the lighters because they're so bright. So you turn around and look behind and like see the whole sea of phone lights.
It lights up the entire arena. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that is really cool. But I'm not used to seeing it because I'm usually in a mosh pit at some weird punk rock club. So
it's, I'm just going to name drop here for a second, fellas. So I was at a Brad Paisley concert on stage while he was playing, you know, because I'm that guy.
Were you throwing pedals at him? Is that
no,
what
this was? This was, I don't know, a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. He has like a, I've talked about this before, he has like a little bar during a couple songs. Some people get invited to come up on stage and drink beer on stage with Brad Paisley, basically.
Hey,
and not bad. So we do that occasionally. And the first time that happened, looking off the stage into a sea of those lights, I had that same experience. Like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's just so cool.
It's such a cool experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a first for me. I'm like, of course I was like, oh, of course that's a thing that people do now, but I just had never seen it before. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And they put on just a crazy show. Gerard is still like an insanely good front man. And we got out of the show and my wife's like, how old is Gerard now? And I was like, oh, he's probably like in his late 30s, I'm guessing. No, he's 45. I couldn't believe it. Yep. Couldn't believe it. Because he looked younger than me. So
it's a good age.
You know?
It's a fine age for a gentleman.
It is.
I remember that age back then. It was wonderful.
My daughter once went to a fancy dress party dressed as Gerard Way, I believe, and certainly has some of the Funko Pops relate to him. She's a huge MCR fan.
That wasn't funny. I just, for a second there, I thought you were going to say she dressed up as a 45-year-old, and I was like, what would that even look like?
I mean, actually,
she, had a cane.
Well, she sort of did.
She brought a cane. She talked about the weather and politics.
Shook a fist in the sky.
I can tell the weather's changing because my knees swelled up.
Exactly.
I thought that was just me. And that isn't my knee that's swelling up there, Blake.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh geez.
I just do it because I'm expected to do it now, right? I didn't even want you to make that joke. Yeah, looked amazing. I saw your pics.
Yeah, so if anybody's on the fence about going, if you're even a casual fan, I would say go because it was an awesome experience. And shout out Frank for hooking us up. That was very kind of him. He did not have to do that. So that was a lot of fun.
I just realized something. Richard, how do you have your camera the correct way? Your camera's mirrored. Mine's not. Neither is Blake's. What did you press to get that to happen?
Which is interesting because on my camera, yours is not mirrored, but Blake's and mine is.
Huh.
Wow.
And that's weird because on my camera down here, which is my phone, I'm backwards, but we are all not mirrored in the screen when I look at it. But I know from Riverside when I go back and watch the recordings that I'm mirrored in the recording. I don't understand. It's very confusing.
This is actually a good time to bring up something that I would love. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I finished. I was done.
I interrupted Richard, though. I'm sorry, Richard. That was wrong of me.
He didn't ring the bell. It doesn't count.
It won't happen again.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm trying to hang on to my thought, and it's creeping away. Oh, there it is. Okay, so I would love to hear from our viewers or listeners if they would even be interested in me recording the video and putting it on the Chasing Tone YouTube channel. Yes, ooh, that actually does exist. There's only old stuff on there, but it's there. We're not using it. We can use it. But if no one wants to watch it, it's a lot more work for me. So like that's why I'm really saying I want to hear from people that say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hear nothing, then I take that as a no. Because no answer is the answer, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I'm confused already.
Sure. The TLDR version is, do you want video? Check yes or no.
Yes or no.
I'm just going to say, I would like to address those people who are viewing us right now. I know where you are, and it's wrong. Stop it.
No, I got my webcam covered up with a piece of tape. It's fine.
my brother does that. I mean, he worked in military intelligence, so that's probably okay.
I hear it's recommended to do that quite a bit.
I do when I'm not using it. Yeah.
Do you really?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be too difficult for a hacker to hack a camera so you wouldn't know it was on. Like, turn the green LED equals off. I think that's possible with computer technology. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What really did it for me was that image floating around several years ago of Zucks, and he had his taped. And I was like, if he's got it taped, I'm taping mine.
He's worth a lot more money than me. I mean, he could blackmail Zucks and get more money with me. Well, I've got a goat. I'll give you my goat.
No, that's not really what I'm saying. I'm saying he obviously knows that it's very easily doable, or he would not bother putting tape over his...
He's a buffoon. What does he know? Come on. He even named his silly social network thing the same as our one pedal. What's wrong with him?
You should sue him for that.
We should sue him for it.
Thinking about that really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you'd win. I think you should go for it. Yeah, you definitely... There's no way that would be a bad idea at all.
The next pedal we're going to call Instagram, I think. But I don't think there'll be a problem.
As long as you follow that up with WhatsApp, I think you'd be fine.
Oh, that's a good name for a delay.
Mm-hmm.
WhatsApp.
The WhatsApp delay.
WhatsApp.
Well, I was thinking of releasing a number of pedals. I got this idea from some pedals that I saw released last week. I think we'd do the Freestone, the Hazy Purple, the Joe Hay pedal, the crab meat. These are all perfect names for pedals here, Brian.
The crab meat is a pedal that I would buy.
I actually would buy a pedal called the crab meat.
I love crab
meat. But I am referring, of course, to the announcement from a certain three-lettered guitar person, the PRS pedals.
Absolutely. I will say this about them. I I think they did a really good job with the aesthetics on them. I think they look really cool. I thought it was very interesting that they started with a dual flanger. That I would have not
interesting
have
is a good word. Yes. Yeah. The dual mono flanger as well. It's not even stereo.
Yeah, that's it. It's an interesting move. I am like, that speaks to me, obviously, because I like weird stuff. I was just really surprised to see that from PRS, because I don't think people would typically, a typical PRS customer, I don't imagine even wanting a regular flanger, let alone a dual flanger. So, generalizing.
I got into PRS pedals, PRS guitars, when I was at my most blues lawyerish phase of life. I'd been relatively successful, so I just bought the best of everything and was like, I need a new guitar. What's the best guitar? PRS guitars. They're the most expensive. I'll buy one of those. And when I went to buy effects pedals, it's like, what are the classics? I'll have a Big Muff. I'll have a vintage Fuzz Face. So, like, that mindset does exist. Like, I want the best of everything without doing the research. Price will dictate what the best is. But these aren't particularly pricey, actually. They're some $250, $300.
I'm just disappointed that Paul didn't follow the advice that he gave me a few years ago.
I thought that same thing. I was like, this is hilarious, kind of.
Yeah. So, this is not private information. So basically,
not anymore.
Well, I mean, I had dinner with Paul and like business dinner. So it's like 8 or 9 of us or something. And Paul was talking to me. He's like, what you need to do is name your pedals the best. The best chorus, the best overdrive, the best distortion. And I kind of disagreed. I'll take that under advisement, but doesn't really sound
like it. But I'm going to stick with Wompstortion. Thank you very much.
I'm going to stick with the Talent Booster because that's a great name,
Brian's immediately ringing up head office going, well, we're going to call it the Best Distortion. It's
the Best Distortion. The Best Drive. Yeah.
The Best Drive actually kind of sounds nice. Like the best that has a bit of a
Best Drive.
The best drive. That sounds kind of nice. But
With you on the aesthetics, Blake. I like the idea of using squiggly random lines on a pedal. Who on earth would do such a thing like that? I kind of like the use of looks like Futura for the typeface, something similar to Futura. That's a classic typeface.
Love that type font.
It's one of your favorite typefaces.
All of them, yeah.
The simple markings around the controls, nice, classic. But the names, come on. I mean, I know how difficult it is to come up with names, but the horse meat, I'm not going to walk into a pedal, into a shop, and just go, I want some horse meat, please. Give me a fine horse meat pedal. That's not going to hit my register. And the ones that sound like Jimi Hendrix songs that have been remixed by my non-existent 7-year-old child, what's the deal there? It's not clever, it's not big, and it's certainly not going to make me buy a pedal.
So the horse meat in particular, now that's an interesting one. And I think the horse meat is a fine pedal name if you were, say, Frost Giant Electronics or
exactly who I would have said. Someone who does something edgy, and it had a very amusing but edgy graphic of a rotting
something more in
horse.
The heavy music ballpark. Yeah. Not that this pedal, I'm guessing it can. The clips sounded very, very good, to be honest, as well.
Well, it's like a Klon thing, right? Obviously, so it's going
to
sound like
Klon. It sounded heavier than that to me. Of course, I don't really know what they're playing it into.
Right, were they going into a dirty amp, though? Because that sounded to me like it was a pretty dirty amp.
It sounded like that, yeah. But I think the horse meat would be a great name for a high-gain, like, baritone-tuned, you know, distortion pedal. Sure, horse meat works great for that. But for this one, I was like, I don't know about. And then Mary Cries was okay, but again, a little on the nose for me. Wind through the trees or whatever. I'm like, that's just too much for me to deal with. Yeah. Like, I don't know. They definitely didn't crush it. But at the same time, there is an argument to be made for having kind of weird names that people talk about. And we're talking about it right now. You know, there's thousands of people hearing us talk about the names of these pedals.
So what you're saying is the best overdrive, the best distortion, all good names because people will talk. That's basically
I'm not saying that that's what I would choose. I'm saying there's an argument to be made for making such choices. That's what I'm saying.
How about if we just start naming pedals like real, like just mean stuff, like shut up, you're an idiot. You're an idiot delay.
I love this more than any other naming scheme you've come up with. Let's invent a new range of like reverse budget pedals. They're overpriced. They're overpriced pedals, and they're just called idiot boxes. We're going to release a range called the idiot box range from Wampler, and just every single one is incredibly mean to the owner.
I think that's already a company, actually.
Idiot box, I think.
I think idiot box.
Good grief, I've been beaten to it. Okay.
But right, I don't think anyone's called a pedal, you're a moron. You know?
Yeah, let's go with my second name, which is Moron Stomp Sync. And then, yeah, we can have pedals like, you'll never break out of the pentatonic scale. I mean, that's got to be
that's
the ultimate
Tube Screamer clone right there. Yeah, that's the Tube Screamer clone.
You need to practice your diminished chords. We should just have like really mean, really mean guitars.
Your pants are too small, and that's a big
learn right. how to tune. More pedals does not equal more talent. Oh no, wait, hold on.
Hey,
it does.
Hey.
That's too far, sir.
How dare you? How dare you?
It is bad. I was looking at someone's mini pedal board the other day, and it had like 30 mini pedals on it. I thought, four Morningstar ML5s and a Boss ES8 switcher. You could control all of those from 1 foot switcher. I don't think it's possible to have a board that's too big now with these wondrous mini pedals. I am a big fan of them.
There's never been such thing as a board too big, ever.
I'm going to address two elephants in the room. And once
what'd
again,
you call me?
Not talking about me nor Blake. Bri, we're probably not going to bother with a mini Pantheon now that they've done the Duke of Tone, because like... What's the point in competing with that?
There'd be three Pantheons. No, yeah. I'm not interested in having three Pantheons.
But a mini Fuzz Tration or a mini Velvet Fuzz?
But how do you know I'm not already doing that, though? You
know? I don't know anything because you don't talk to me anymore because you tell me I'm mean and hang up on me constantly.
Because you
let
came
me zoom
up with
in on
names
that. What's
like
that breadboard
you're a jerk
doing back there? There's a breadboard back there.
There is? No. Oh, there is. That's for my video I did the other day, which bombed. That video did terrible.
I have not checked because you didn't tell me it had even been uploaded, Bri.
We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
Justin was going live Monday at noon.
Okay. Oh, that's why it bombed, because you never told me about it, and I didn't click on it 400 times like you tell me to every day.
Click on it 400 times, make sure you log into different VPNs every time you click on
right. Just use NordVPN, and, you know, keep
clicking. Hey, they're not paying us money. Don't talk about it.
Other VPN solutions are available. The new Moron VPN from...
No, I mean, the comments are good. I mean, the comments are like... So basically, let me backtrack. Cause
it was about the Mostortion, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if you're listening to this podcast, you probably didn't see it because only a couple thousand people have seen it, which is terrible for my channel. But so yeah, it was like I took the Mostortion circuit and I'm like, okay, so if I was redesigning this and I was trying to do something different with it, what's one possible thing I could do? And of course, I'm like, well... What happens if instead of like the normal clipping section, what happens if we run through MOSFETs? We still keep all the EQ stuff, so it still sounds the same at the end of the day, but it has different type of gain and it responds differently and all this stuff. It's just kind of a fun exercise, you know, just kind of a creative thing. So, you know, people really seem to like it. Now, is it going to be a pedal? I don't know, because I do this all the time for fun. So that's not the first time I've just created a circuit just to see what it would do, you know?
Yeah, but, there's so many people that just sit around and do that for fun.
Well, it just so happens it's also part of my job because sometimes I stumble on something. I'm like, now that's a cool thing, you know? So it's like part of the process in a way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it was a short video. It's 5-6 minutes long. I thought I was direct and to the point. I put a little I like doing these little montages here past few videos because they're fun, basically. And Blake is falling asleep on me. But anyways, yep. It didn't track well. Didn't track well at all.
I'm so surprised this video didn't do good, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, talking about it and Blake's falling asleep, that's probably why it's boring as hell. Mm-hmm.
This should be your test before you start a video. Just ring Blake up and just talk to him about it first. If he maintains an erect position and his eyes are open. You are criticizing me for a perfectly legitimate use of the English language.
In America,
sir.
We do not say people are erect if they're sitting in a certain
way.
We use that a different way. that got in my eyes. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Keep going. Yep.
Unintentional slips.
The Moss Distortion's not exactly everybody's favorite pedal, though. Like, it's quite a rare one. I'd never heard of it until you spoke to me
so
about it.
Dude, it is so huge in Nashville. It is gigantic.
But again, much like the Nobles ODR1. Huge in Nashville, not known as well enough around the world as it should be, perhaps. So,
but the same type of video when I did that with the Nobles, 150,000 views. Of course, it was on an actual product we were releasing too, though. So that could
have. It was a brand new pedal that we released after not releasing a pedal for about a year, and it was like quite good and all of that.
Well, the next one's just going to be dancing. I'm just going to take what people have done on TikTok in the past, and I'm going to put it on YouTube with me doing it and call it something new.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's what YouTube
almost sounded bitter, Brian. Has somebody hurt you? Who hurt you this week, Brian?
Where do I start? I guess I'll start with A's.
No, let us not start there. We'll be here all week. Let's start with X and work backwards.
So then he's going to miss the Z's that also
right.
hurt
What about
him?
The Z's? Yeah. And the Y's?
The Z's.
Why do you guys add extra letters to Z?
It's Z. Z is a name.
No, like Z is a letter.
No.
Z is not a letter. You can go W, X, Y, and Z. That's not how it goes.
Do you say that in the alphabet song?
Yes.
X, Y, and Z.
First of all, we're British, my good friend. We don't need a song to remember 26 different letters. We just remember them.
Well, you forgot the last one because it's not Z.
Yeah. wait a minute. You didn't, as a little kid, you don't have like an alphabet song that you're...
No, because do you know why? Because nothing rhymes with Z. So they're like, pan that idea.
Like, well, how are we going to make an alphabet song that rhymes with Zed? Well, we can't. And it's Zed, clearly.
Maybe you should call V Ved. Then it would rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense at all.
Yeah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. L, M, N, O is also one word.
That's all. It's all one letter.
Q, R, S, T, U, Ved. W, X, Y, and Z.
And Z. Yeah, you figured it out.
Brian, that is actually genius, I'm just going to say. I'm going to write to the... Who is it who looks
the
after the language these days?
The association?
I shall write to the Earl of Languages. The British Earl of Languages is the controller for all languages in England.
What? The Earl of Languages? Is that a real thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he lives
I thought you were going to say Urban Dictionary or something. But
he lives in the Alphabet Castle.
I mean, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. There's like an Earl of Sandwich somewhere in this world, so.
Someone's got to invent the sandwich.
I'm glad he did. I'm going to be eating one here in a little while.
What sandwich is on the platter today?
I think I'm going to go with a salami and turkey sandwich today. I believe that's what I'm going to do. I might eat it with a side of duck egg. I come up with some duck eggs this weekend. That was a real nice surprise. You ever had a duck egg?
Yes, but not with a salami sandwich.
I did see some wild turkeys though this morning. So there's that.
Are they in your freezer?
No. See, to do that would require like me cleaning them and stuff, and not going to happen. It's just no.
Mm-mm. It's worth it. It's worth
it. I'm not a hunter type of person. I'm really
wild
not.
Wild turkey's delicious, I know. Though.
Even like here in Indiana, hunting deer is like a big thing, at least in this part of Indiana. And never been, never desired to. Just no desire to.
Have you ever ate deer, though?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
I love deer. Oh, that's...
It's a little different, though, if it's already done for me, but to actually go through the act of putting on the camouflage and go sitting in a tree and getting up early to do this. Screw that.
The getting up early part is for the birds. You don't have to do that. Everything I've ever gotten, I've gotten in the evening anyway. So who cares? I'm not getting
that's
up early.
That's because Blake goes hunting in an M1 Abrams tank like most other Portland natives. No, I'm with you. I love venison, but clearly I don't hunt it. And if I go to the butcher to buy some, the problem with venison is often a little deer. So, you know. the dad jokes are coming fast.
That was a perfect opportunity for a sound clip, and we didn't get one, you know?
Brian's off his game today.
I am off my game. I'm sorry. Which one should I choose? And I will gladly...
The most triumphant one.
Yeah, the laughter clip.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that wasn't late.
I think that's even worse.
Somehow it's worse.
The fact that we had to pause, that we had to pause, tell him to insert it. I'm even more insulted now. So, look, let's just round off.
I have
off
some
our...
bad news. Uh-oh. Since we're talking about eating animals.
Yes.
And Brian... I know I already told you this, and I apologize, but I knew we were going to have to talk about it on the podcast. But
you've eaten a goat.
I've eaten goat. I went to an Indian restaurant and ate some goat curry. And
you don't need to.
It was delicious.
Have lamb or chicken. Sheep are much better than baby goat.
I mean, I did prefer the lamb, but the goat was still delicious. I just wanted to try it.
Mm.
It was already dead. It's not like I killed it myself. It was already dead.
I would hope so. It would be a bit more sporting if it was still alive when you tried to eat it, but kind of difficult. Would you ever eat a live animal, Blake? Because we'll call you a gastronome. That's not a slight at your height, by the way. That's a real word. Would you eat a live octopus? You know, those baby octopuses that are sort of live?
Oh, man. I was talking about something similar with my wife last night, and I...
Oh, that sounds like some really kinky bedroom talk right there.
Whoa, easy there, partner. No, we were watching Somebody Feed Phil, which is a food travel show.
Yep.
And he was eating some live insects, and I was like, I'll eat the dead ones, but I don't know if I could eat the live ones. I don't know about eating the live octopus. It's one of those things where I'm like, I could be talked into it. I could be talked into eating some pretty weird stuff. But
I don't like eating octopus. I've eaten it once, maybe twice, and I felt guilty both times. I will never eat it again. That's kind of like eating a dolphin. Would you eat a dolphin?
No, I wouldn't eat a dolphin.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Would you eat a dolphin gray fender special Japanese aerodyne strat?
Now you're talking. I would eat one of those. Yes.
Yes.
I would at least love and caress it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Would you love and caress a real dolphin?
I'm not a big fan of fish.
The thing is, I've done the swimming with dolphins things before when I was a kid, and I feel really bad about it because those programs are generally not very cool.
Like drugged dolphins, that sort of thing.
I don't think these were drugged, but they definitely weren't out in the wild where they belong. Let's just put it that way.
If I've learned nothing else from watching the Inbetweeners films, it's they also don't like cheeseburgers. So, you know, don't be feeding your Big Mac.
That's why they didn't like me very well. I was trying to give them some In-N-Out and they weren't having it.
Whoa, spray him immediately.
Oh, hey, that's a cheeseburger. Now I'm getting sprayed. I'm serious.
Speaking
about cheeseburgers.
Of cheeseburgers, they've just opened a Burger King in my town. And you know what surprised me? One,
that
do you know how many calories?
Good.
Well, do you know how many calories is in the most calorific burger from Burger King?
I believe it's somewhere around like 1400, if I remember correctly.
Okay, no, sorry. This is the United Kingdom, my friend. So 1000 is the biggest Burger King over here. That's a big burger. But do you know what else surprised me?
That's a moderately sized burger.
Yeah, that's a Tuesday here.
Yeah. They're as expensive as Five Guys are.
That's why... See, now you're seeing the thing. So Burger King is not nearly as good as Five Guys, and it's about the same price. No reason for it.
Yes. At least we're keeping on topic.
Have you guys noticed that we talk about food more than we talk about... This should actually be Chasing Food podcast.
I'm so hungry right now. That's probably part of it.
I was wondering how, you know, when you had your dinner with Paul Reed Smith, and I'm assuming it was like a fairly, you know, fancy affair, the lights were dim.
We're like in a bar or something. I mean, it was...
Okay, I was thinking it was like a Michelin-starred restaurant, and, you know, the entrees come out, maybe Paul has a steak, maybe one of his guests has a chicken, and someone just dumps a giant plate of peanut butter and yogurt in front of you. And you're like tasting it like it's wine, spitting it back out, going, yes, I will have the peanut butter and yogurt, my good man, thank you.
This was before my peanut butter and yogurt days.
Oh, okay. What, you mean you ate solid food? You're going backwards in life.
Yeah, I ate more back then, I guess. Probably ate worse because I ate a lot more fast food and such.
Fast food's not good, but it is tasty.
Yep. Then my cholesterol was like off the charts, you're going to die sort of situation. So I had to change a lot of stuff.
How did you know that? Your doctor told you, or could you feel any effects?
No, I go to the doctor every year for a physical and checkup and blood work and stuff.
That's something I don't do. I'm like, nothing's fallen off. I'm fine.
That's right. Yep. Nothing's purple. Nothing's rotten. Nothing's swollen. I guess I'll be all right.
If by that criteria, I probably should see a doctor.
No.
This is medical talk.
This is Patreon.
Sexy talk.
This is not Patreon, rather. This is not
we're
Patreon.
So thrown off our game. We don't know what... We haven't even touched on any of the topics we said we were going to save for this.
We haven't touched on any
of
the topics yet.
We talked about the Paul Reed Smith pedals.
We did. We talked about that.
And we never got the conclusion. Are you buying them all, Blake?
I really want to try the flanger, even though I think it has the worst name. I really want to try the flanger.
Brian, are you going to get some?
I'm sure I will at some point, but it's not something that I want to rush out and get, you know? Just not my thing. But
What guitar pedals?
Those particular pedals. I mean, they're okay.
You need to get them. I'm going to raise one more point, though. They kind of marketed heavy on the through-hole component.
I noticed that, too, which I also thought was interesting considering... This is public, right? Because John's talked about it. That Cusack was making him, and he's not... He'll make you whatever you want, but he's definitely not Captain Through-Hole. He's long championed SMT for various things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where this thinking comes from unless it's just kind of cork sniffery type stuff. But
yeah, it was interesting that was a focus point.
I know some people are just... They still kind of believe that surface mount stuff sounds different, and it's just doesn't work that way. There's a lot more things that are way more important than whether you're going through a through-hole resistor or a surface mount resistor.
But can you fit the same amount of magic in a SMT resistor? That's what I need to know. How much magic can you fit in there?
Well, I mean, that's the right way to ask it. Because where do you get your magic from? I go to digikey.com and get my magic. You know?
You order it from DigiKey?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's a device that resists, right? It has some resistance. It's kind of what it does. It just resistance. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said this 1,000 times, so I won't go too deep in it, but there's just so many more things that are more important, like layout. And yes, some part types are important. Like, for example, I won't use an electrolytic capacitor at some parts in the circuit versus a film capacitor. But, you know, is it the Panasonic ACQ B5 or is it the, you know, the Top Bay? I mean, just get a decent one with decent tolerance.
The thing is, Bri, when you're playing on stage, the audience can really tell the difference. I've been to many a concert where people have just walked out and gone, these guys are not playing through hole. I'm out of here. That's it. Bye. See you later. Bye.
I mean, I've done it. I've done it many times. Oh,
I have to say, though,
Scott, you
wrong probably do that with strings. Are those string joys? You suck.
I have to
say,
that's
what I usually do.
Mm-hmm. Captain Throughhole and the Cork Sniffers of Time is the science fiction adventure that we need to write. I can see it now. I think John Cusack would make a great actor for the first Captain Throughhole. It could be a bit like Doctor Who, though. You get a different Captain Throughhole every few generations when the ratings drop. This would be an amazing show. Ah, the Cork Sniffers of Time. That would be
the Cork Sniffers
of Time. That's a YouTube and show waiting to be made.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I might start sketching up some ideas for that one. What would Captain Throughhole look like? Oh, wait a minute. No, that's disgusting. I've got a topic.
Okay.
I did something guitar-related this week that I don't do very often. I haven't been practicing as much as I want to. I'm not going to lie. It's something to do with a certain taskmaster. Let's put it that way. I bought a guitar magazine, Bri. I bought Guitarist.
Wait, on purpose?
Was
there own money?
It said the word pedals in big writing, so I thought must purchase.
Have you thought about looking at stuff on the internet?
Instead? Well, I mean, my advice to anyone thinking about buying a guitar magazine is just send me £10 instead, because you'll get as much enjoyment from it. It is just...
Absolutely. From our wonderful Patreon subscription.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the magazine was... I didn't even read any of the words. I just looked at the pictures. It gave me about 30 seconds of entertainment for £8, which at today's exchange rate is probably $8. I wasn't really into it. And then I thought, are guitar magazines in printed form still relevant?
I mean, I think some people like to look at them. I mean, Sweetwater prints a catalog every year that I still thumb through.
So does that cost you £7.99?
Like, no, I think they sent it for free. But yeah,
that's fine.
But I mean, I could see the allure of it, I guess, but ultimately, being on this side of it, it's a pay-for-play situation. So the more you advertise, guess what? You're getting a lot of coverage. It's weird how that works.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So that's
weird.
You don't advertise, and you every now and then you'll get a little trinket of attention. And a lot of times it's followed up with an email that says something like, hey, we just featured your pedal in this magazine. Have you considered, putting an ad in ours magazine?
Yep.
It works that way quite a bit.
It does work that way.
It's jaded me a bit. I still use magazines a little bit for marketing, but it's because it's pay to play.
So I guess we should say that's
a very general statement. I'm not saying every magazine in the world. I'm just saying generalizing it.
And we should probably explain pay for play. It's not like pay us and we'll make sure we put you in this article. It's not like that. It's just if you do pay to advertise with them, they're going to prefer you when they do have to write an article about
you'll come to mind a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to mind a lot less easier.
Yeah. So it's not quite. I think people hear pay for play and they think about the old radio scam that happened back in the day, but it's not quite like that.
Yeah,
it's just more. You just get a little bit of preferential treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I don't know. I mean, I could sit on the toilet and read a magazine. That'd be fine.
Okay, you could also look at your phone.
I could also
read that same article on their website,
right?
For free.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to go through, what's the website called? I have a website that I found that if you have a paywall up, you just put in the URL into this website and it removes that paywall. It's amazing.
Oh, send me this link. I need that link. So this was the 40 Greatest Pedals of All Time issue. And Kudos to Dan and Mick, who named the Wampler Paisley Drive as one of the most inspiring and tone-expanding offshoots of the basic Tube Screamer concept. It wasn't even an advanced
nice.
Tube Screamer.
Oh, cool.
Very nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that was nice. But special kudos has to go to our good friend, Mr. Dave Kilminster, who, when describing what his favourite pedal was, he put down Boss Chromatic Tuner. I mean, it's a great pedal.
I would have to agree. What's your favorite pedal? A tuner.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I think more guitar players should use one of those, their tuner pedals.
But why? I'm just going to hit it with a chorus and that's going to detune everything. So might as well, why even start, you know?
I think it depends a lot on what you're playing, though. I mean, if you're playing the Lynyrd Skynyrd and you have three other guitars and they're all tuned differently, it can sound pretty badly.
It sounds like quickly. A sound like a chorus pedal. That's what it sounds like, right? That's how it works.
Kind of worse.
I
thought we'd
this.
Educate you that the correct pronunciation was Lynyrd Skynyrd. You need to get it right, Bri. The Lynyrd Skynyrds.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Speaking of, I got a gig at the end of this month, and I got to relearn some old Skynyrd stuff. That I've
what are you going to learn?
Years.
Freebird!
What is it? I think, what is it I had to learn last night? I don't even remember what song that was. One Free Bird. Was it?
I know Sweet Home Alabama? Maybe? Just I forget. Kissing.
It's been so long since I listened to that stuff. I forget.
But
I mean, there's some other stuff like Devil Went Down to Georgia. I got to learn again.
You playing the fiddle on that one?
We have fiddle player.
I would pay to see that.
We have fiddle and steel player.
No, I asked if you were playing the fiddle.
Oh, if I? No. I've tried.
Oh, then I'm
the
not
fiddle.
Interested.
Yeah, I'm not very good.
I want you to
do
play.
Do you do
fiddle.
a shite kicking solo for that?
For Skynyrd?
No, for The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
I don't know. I've never played it with this band before.
Oh.
It's one of those situations where if they give me the nod, it's go time. You know?
Okay.
So, and a lot of times that depends on, we have 3 hours of material in a 4-hour gig. We're going to have to stretch some songs out, fellas.
So they give you the nod, number that's called, when you step on a big muff and do heavy riffs, right?
No, that's where you just go, here's a little number called Shine On You Crazy Little Diamond.
That
14
does not,
minutes
does
of
not
joy.
Go over well in the redneck taverns of Martinsville, Indiana.
What?
Pink Floyd does
no
not,
taste.
Does not go over well at all. Tried it before, doesn't go, people go to sleep. Now, if you're on leafy substances, you know, then...
Lettuce?
Like lettuce, sort of like that.
Yeah, like a salad.
Mm-hmm. If the devil had a particular type of lettuce...
Oh,
maybe,
he went down to Georgia.
He did go down to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. So Georgian
Sometimes
lettuce.
Sometimes that stuff...
Georgian
that's
lettuce,
when
yes.
The Pink Floyd goes over well if you're not... on the alcohol. It seemed, this is just what I've noticed in Martinsville area, Indiana. More accurately, Morgan County, Indiana.
You know, I'm curious how many Martinsville residents listen to this and hear us, you know,
talk. I'm frightened by it.
One is on our Patreon.
I'm frightened by this.
A friend of mine from school, actually. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. All right. So he's probably not going to lynch you at the next opportunity.
Usually John texts me and he's like, you nailed it. Absolutely. Remember that one time where our buddy did this and this? And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I couldn't talk about that to the world.
I just hope I hope Coyote from the gas station doesn't listen, because I feel like he may take some offense to the things I said.
Coyote?
And, yeah.
Speaking of Coyote, did you guys see that video doing the rounds of... what I could only describe as Methodestrians singing Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon.
No.
If you have not seen this clip, I have to share it with you. It's a couple of fine specimens that I think probably live around the corner from either one of you. Both of you, probably. Before we wrap this one up, I've got one last subject, though. So there has been some new research that indicates... that straight men who play guitar in extreme metal bands are doing it to impress other straight men. What do you
think? Confirm. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I think if you're playing a flaming hot solo, you're probably doing that to impress other guitar players in general. You know, because if you're in the audience, you don't care about, oh, did you notice what he did? On the fifth there, that's actually a flat five he's doing right there. It's amazing. Or I wonder if those are surface mount resistors. Yeah, that definitely applies to like guitar players.
No, I mean, I think the largest, it's, you know, extreme metal is a good example of a genre where it's not entirely dudes, because nothing ever is, but it's mostly dudes.
I was
going to
say, I mean, I wouldn't say it's just guys. There's definitely plenty of women that are.
And especially now, more and more all the time. But traditionally, it has been a lot of dudes in extreme metal bands.
Yeah. So. Yep.
But I don't know what it feels like an Onion article. That you're...
That was a fascinating topic to bring up on the last part of
this. Yeah, that was great, you know, Richard. Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks so much. That's what we needed.
I'm sure our Patreoners, our executive producers actually will love that. But you know what? We should probably talk about them a little bit.
Let's.
You know? All right. So big shootout. Big thank you to
big shootout.
Big shootout between our Patreons.
Oh no. This has gotten way out of hand. Our Patreon members are shooting out each other. Oh no.
This is a job for Captain Throughhole.
So big thanks to Bill Bays, Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Nighthaus, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Radar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, DJ Patty F, Dylan Talks Tone, Strand, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity who makes the annoying memes, Tom Kelly, Pigsy, Zebo, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, and the Flying Dutchman.
Yahoo!
All right. We'll talk to you guys and gals next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts, and also check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. Make sure to check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.